news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, and Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. What a rather weird weekend.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend, and maybe not the best SEC lineup we've seen, but thankfully some good games are on the way. I wanted to start this morning with a talk about something that's not necessarily, you know, related to what happens on the field, but I guess in a way it is, and that's these vaccine mandates that are starting to come down for some of these universities. And Paul, here in Alabama, there's been big discussion about Auburn coach Brian Harsin and whether or not he's vaccinated. And some journalists here are making a pretty big deal about why they feel that matters. Do you think that this will cause an issue for some of these teams this season or maybe even next season?
Well, I think it's an important issue because of what happened in Washington with Washington State coach Nick Rolovich, who was fired recently because he had not taken the vaccine, and the state mandated that he did. I don't think in Harsin's case it's going to affect things very much. I mean, I know what the law is, but I think the politics of Alabama, as you guys know, is significantly different.
It is, for sure. And now if we get on the football field with Auburn, they've got to a big game. Ole Miss coming in. It's going to be a beautiful night on the plains. Should be a sellout crowd. I think Auburn's feeling better about their team suddenly. Can they score enough, and can they slow down Ole Miss?
That's a really big question, and I think ultimately this is maybe the most important game of the year for Auburn because everyone's looking at this team and saying they've only lost two games. However, Ole Miss Saturday night, Texas A&M on the road next week, Alabama at home. So, you know, this season could either lift off into something spectacular or it really could crash and burn right here because if Auburn loses all three games, then we're kind of back to where we started with a 7-5 record.
Yeah, then a vaccination or non-vaccination actually becomes something that people will talk about a little more intently, I think.
Yeah, I think this is a winnable game, but I will say Matt Corral is probably the best quarterback in the country, and Bo Nix is hot and cold, and he better be very hot Saturday night.
Yeah, he better be. And I heard you talking earlier this week with Pittman, the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. He had some kind words for Bo Nix. It seems like he's kind of been able to turn his not just season but career around with some of his performances so far this year. With Auburn coming off the bye, and Ole Miss took care of LSU in a big way last weekend, but they've had some tough games here these last few weeks. How much do you think that bye benefits Auburn?
I think it could be the difference in the game because, think about this for Ole Miss. They had that brutal game with Tennessee, which went on forever and had the delay, and they won at the end. And then last week, of course, and now the Auburn game where, Auburn's been sitting there resting up. And I think if Ole Miss has one deficiency, it's that Matt Corral is banged up. I was in Oxford last weekend, and they weren't sure he would play. Of course, he did. He was limited. And I think, this is a really – big moment of the year for them to be able to will their way through. So if we're talking next week about an Auburn win, I think it's exactly because of the physical condition of Ole Miss. Ole Miss looks like a better team, but that doesn't matter when you play on the road and you're not at full strength.
Paul, what's the temperature of the Alabama fan base right now? They had the bye week. They played pretty well at Mississippi State. But I've heard some people calling your show uncharacteristically almost conceding that this is not their year. I think that's crazy talk. It's a good team.
They may very well be the second best team in the country, but in Alabama, that's not good enough. And I think that's really the standard now that Saban has set. And, remember, the Florida game was a near-death experience. Many felt like it was a loss. And then the A&M game was a death experience. So I think it goes week to week. Fans are still unhappy with Pete Golden. He's the defensive coordinator. They feel good about the offense. They don't feel as good as they did last year, but that happens when you have five or six first-rounders. And And I think it's just a matter of navigating the next couple of weeks. I think everyone knows Auburn will be the most difficult regular season game, and then the Georgia game. And there are some who are saying, well, Georgia's too good. Well, you should know. If you're an Alabama fan and you've been down this road over 15 years with Nick Saban, you know better than to say that.
Yeah, speaking of Georgia, the game formerly known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up this weekend, and it's a big game for both teams for different reasons. Obviously, Georgia wants to keep on rolling and keep that number one status, but this feels like a huge week for Dan Mullen and job security. Am I wrong?
He is clearly losing his fan base, and most will argue, hey, he's safe. Don't worry about Dan Mullen. Well, try losing by two or three touchdowns to Georgia and wake me up in the morning and see how I feel. I don't think he's in danger because he has done a good job overall, but we're talking about Florida here, and Florida fans have an inflated view of their program. They think they're on the same level with Alabama, because they have won national championships under Spurrier. They won two under Urban Meyer. But, you know, Dan Mullen, good coach, but not an elite coach. And this game is going to really dictate, I think, how Florida fans feel the rest of the way.
Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Brian Bank. You had an interesting guest on your show this week, Paul. I don't know if he was a behavioral scientist or whatever it was, but he was talking about some people win because of I don't know, it's because of who they are. Others win despite themselves, or others succeed in life despite themselves, like they get in their own way. And he put Dan Mullen in that category. I thought that was interesting.
It was. He said Dan Mullen blind spot is Dan Mullen. He can't see his own deficiencies, and I think he does get in the way. He's a cocky Northeasterner. Not that there's anything wrong with that. My parents are from the Northeast. Thankfully, I'm not. And I just think, you know, he's got that swagger, which is great when he's winning by big scores, but he's a terrible loser. And he really, if he's going to hang his hat on something over the last 4 or 5 years, it's beating Georgia last year. But that's one day, that's one game, that's 24 to 30 hours away from expiring, and I think that's really his problem. Program's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. With Georgia, meanwhile, program going in the right direction, and a Heisman contender at the beginning of the year, JT Daniels, obviously hasn't been playing these last few weeks. Stetson Bennett stepped in and did a great job in that role of quarterback. Is it easy, do you think, for Kirby to decide who starts, or do they have a real quarterback competition going on there?
I think he does have a dilemma, because Stetson Bennett is running the team very well, and I sense he's going to go with him and bring JT in just to see what he looks like. I mean, since JT showed up there, he's played very little. I mean, he didn't play the first half of the last season. He has not played a lot this season. And don't forget, he was a Heisman contender. But this is the 2021 is the year you do not want to be a Heisman contender. He was a contender. Spencer Rattler, DJU from Clemson, and we haven't seen much of any of them lately.
And down on the bayou, they're looking for a coach, Paul. I know that your ears are to the train tracks. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing and what's reality may be two different things, but I still think there's a lot of conversation about Mel Tucker, who's at Michigan State, taking on Michigan this weekend. Other than that, I think you could almost just throw any name up against the wall and see if it sticks. But so far, I don't think any of them have, other than Mel Tucker.
You know, it seems like every fan base of blue chip programs feel that when they lose a coach, they can just reach out and grab another coach from some other school, even if they're really successful. LSU fans, how badly do they want Lane Kiffin? And could that, like, on what earth could that actually happen? Could Lane Kiffin go to LSU?
I think it's possible, but not likely. Lane's already been to two SEC schools. Nobody has ever been to three, by the way. Hmm. And, you know, Paul Bryant coached at Texas A&M, Kentucky and Alabama, but you have to remember A&M was not in the SEC at the time. So I think he would be a compromise choice. For all of Lane's greatness, and I'm a fan, He doesn't go over well with every AD, and I think that could be his issue in Baton Rouge.
Paul, we've got a slate of some pretty good games this weekend, so let's enjoy the football, and thanks for your input today.
Always a pleasure, guys. See you next week.
All right. See you then, Paul.